Welcome to another Sport and Lifestyle Biz here on UK Health Radio, your real feel-good radio. This week we continue our horse racing theme. We have more from Holly Doyle and also part three from Nicola Curry. Sandwiched in between those, a song dedicated to a young 13-year-old boy in the world of pony racing who sadly recently passed away. And we also have our SLB Sports Roundup, and we hope you enjoy the show. You'll never stop. We start with more from the brilliant flat jockey Holly Doyle. Well, everybody, back with me this week is the lady we all love to hear from, the best female jockey. It's Holly Doyle. Hi, Holly.
Hi, you right?
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Good. Busy?
Yeah, very busy, yeah. It's crazy at the moment.
Yeah, and you said you were riding 7 days a week at the moment.
Yeah, we've got races 7 days a week now, pretty much all year round. So it's pretty relentless.
And we're, as we come on to, you know, got to find time for the gym, got to try and find time for a bit of relaxation as well, I presume.
There's not much time for that, but obviously keeping fit is quite a big priority, so yeah, all in.
Perfect. Well, we'll just start off with the current season, really. You know, we've spoken to you before about how you, you know, got into the sport, how you broke the record, how you've moved things further on, and, you know, how you do transcend through the sport for female jockeys because you are so dedicated. But this year, I think you've got about 129 winners already, which is brilliant. That's stacked up with group wins and even a classic. How do you feel the season's gone for you so far?
Yeah, my season's going really well, obviously. Quality of horses I'm riding has got a lot better, and I've been a classic winner, so I can't complain. It's all I wanted, so things are going well.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. You know, I think as we've spoken through the years, you know, first of all, you wanted a group winner, which you got, and then you wanted a group one winner, which you got, and then we was like, have you got a target this year? It's a classic, and you've got that as well. I mean, you say you're riding better quality horses, but obviously that comes with your talent as well. You wouldn't be riding them if you weren't good enough.
Yeah, no, thankfully the kind of stepping stones I've had all over the last few years have kind of led to this, so it's excellent really, and just got to keep it going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, you know, we have said before how hard you work, and when you get some spare time, you're dedicated, you're in the gym. You've said yourself, not much time for relaxation. One of the horses I want to talk to you about briefly, if that's okay, is Nashua. She's the filly that won you your first classic, the French Oaks, the Prix de Diane. You mentioned actually in January when we spoke, she was one to look for this season. What an amazing partnership you've gained with her.
Yeah, no, really lucky to have come across her, and she's very special. I mean, I haven't ridden many like her before, but I think when they're that good, they are exceptionally special, and she's a dream, really. She's got great minds, great temperament. Physically, she's, you know, a lovely stamp of a horse. So.
Yeah, so perhaps even more improvement to come?
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully she's going to stay in training next year as a four-year-old, so she's still got a bit of growing to do, and she'll be a big girl at the end of the year, that's for sure.
That's wonderful, isn't it? You know, plenty of growth. And I think that's becoming a little bit more of the norm, isn't it? That if you're a Derby or the Guineas winner, you tend to be packed away, if you, especially if you're a colt sort of thing. But the flat horses do tend to stay in training a little bit longer now.
I suppose so. I mean, horses develop at different rates. Yeah. It depends how quickly yours is developing or not developing as to when you call it a day on their career, really.
Good. It sounds like we've got quite a bit to see of her yet. What makes her special, Holly? Is it the fact she's got an amazing turn of foot? Is the fact she travels well? You mentioned her mind. Or has she just got a bit of everything?
Yeah, she's got it all, really, and she's by the super Sire Frankel, so she's got a lot of different qualities, and for me, the strongest one is her temperament. She has to race at the big occasions, and they need to have the right temperament for those days.
Yeah, it's great. So just to explain more to people, it means that she doesn't get overexcited or perhaps lose the race or some of her energy before she starts.
Touch wood, so far she hasn't done that, and she's been excellent, so hopefully that can continue.
Yeah, I mean, she's been brilliant, and I think you've ridden her almost from everywhere, as it were. You know, Goodwood, you dropped her in, and when I say she won as she liked, I know it's easy to say that, but she seemed to win pretty comfortably.
Yeah, she's not one-dimensional. I can ride her how I think's the best way to ride her effectively to how I think the race would be run. So it's really nice to have a horse like that.
Yeah, it was nice to see that, because in the French Oaks, I think you rode her a little bit further forward because of the draw, and she coped with that as well.
Yeah, pretty versatile. That's what you want. She's excellent.
Yeah, you can't ask for more than that, really, especially of a horse of that quality. It must help.
Yeah, exactly. It's a big help.
Yeah, fabulous. And just one note about her. In our Oaks, she finished third, which is still brilliant, and it placed you in an English Classic, which is amazing. Did she not quite get the trip, or did she just not stay as well as the two that beat her?
I think she just didn't stay it, really. I mean, I'm not saying she's never going to stay that far, because she might do in the future, but at that stage in her training regime, she wasn't strong enough to stay at that stage.
Well, you said she's got plenty more growth in her, so that's good. And just one final thing about her, if I may, Holly, just so that the listeners can look at and watch such a wonderful horse, because it's always great to watch the best horses. Anything later on in the year that she might be targeted for, something in America? And is she going to stay at 10 furlongs for the moment?
Yeah, I think she'll probably stay at 10 furlongs at the moment. She might be pointing towards the Breeders' Cup, but before that she might go to France for the Prix de l'Opera.
Lovely. That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely fab, especially if you can pick up that race on that weekend as well. Brilliant. That links us on nicely to riding abroad. I know that when we spoke before, you said that it would be nice to ride abroad and get the different cultures and different styles of race riding. Obviously, Nashua won the French Oaks for you. You rode in the Saudi Cup last year. Absolutely fabulous. I presume that's also part of you not having a day off, is the fact that your days off from before are now filled up with races abroad.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, at the moment, it's the Vespelin de Ville over every Sunday, so if I'm not here, I'll probably be there. So it's quite busy, and you know, that's what I've wanted there. I want to ride abroad, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that you said that before. I know that the constant on the go does suit you, from having chatted to you, that you are totally driven. And as I said, you are a trendsetter for any jockey, really, not for women jockeys, for any jockey. I mean, you and Tom seem to be on the go all the time. What's your state of mind this year for the championship? Do you think William Buick might be too far away?
I'd say William's home and hosed, really, unfortunately. But I'd love to finish second or third, so I'll try and ride as many winners as I can.
That would be great to break into the top three. I think you were fourth last year, which is a great achievement on its own. Second would be good. Have you got anything else big to look forward to during the autumn, or is Nashua your main one?
Yeah, I think Nashua and Trishan are my main two, really, to be honest. Obviously, the autumn ground, hopefully, will come for Trishan so we can get him back out.
Yeah, thanks, Holly. You're doing my job for me here, because you've given me another link there. I wanted to chat to you briefly about Trishan, because obviously the horse's welfare is the main thing. If the ground's too fast, he doesn't run. And we've spoken before about how you missed the Gold Cup and the rain come a day late, and your mindset, you're so fair with it. Does it get a little bit disappointing, not from the fact the horse has withdrawn, but the fact you've potentially missed out on another Group One? Because I think you've probably missed three now that he quite well could have won.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating, but he won't win unless he's got his conditions, so what's the point, really, in risking him? You know, like, we ran him on good to firm at Goodwood, and he didn't win. He ran well, but we're there to win. We're not there to finish second, third, or fourth. We want to win. So what's the point in risking him on the ground that doesn't suit him?
Yeah, that's a great mindset, Holly. And the reason I ask the question is for people to obviously understand, but also, I had a good time with the Keyboard Warriors after York, the fact that they were moaning at Alan King, you know, downing the horse because he didn't run. And they're quite hurtful comments. Do you take much notice of comments like that, or do you just let it go?
I don't take any notice of them. I mean, if people are following racing, they can't understand that situation, and they probably shouldn't follow racing, to be honest.
You're probably right, and I probably should let it go as well. Just some people's comments, they just baffle me, you know, how they claim themselves to be followers of horse racing, yet they probably had their couple of pound win, as it were, and but the horse is a non-runner anyway, so not that they'd lose money, but yeah, really bizarre.
Yeah.
But I just wondered, you know, because you're right, he ran at Goodwood. I thought he ran a cracker at Goodwood. I really did. I thought he'd come there to win his race, and it was probably the ground, was it, that just didn't let him go through with it?
Yeah, and it was a strong race as well, but you know, if that was soft or heavy, he probably would have won. So Alan King's missed it once and proven to people that this is the reason why we don't run on quicker ground.
Well, exactly right, and he did come there to it. I thought he ran an absolutely brilliant race. If you think that the two horses that beat him were Kyprios and Stradivarius, just shows you how good he is on ground that is totally unfavourable to him.
Yeah, he's very good, and you know, I can't really knock him for that defeat, really. You know, I got off and I didn't really blame the ground. I just thought it was an extremely strong race. No, I couldn't be happier with him.
Brilliant. That's the point. You're dead right. He could run his best and still finish third in a race like that. So it was a fantastic performance. And if I could just bring up another point you mentioned, which is very valid. You don't think of today. Too many people think of today. If you ruin him today, you haven't got, as you said, the back end of the season when there's plenty of good races that he can go for and win.
Yeah, exactly. There's plenty of options from at the end of the year, and what's the point in having him cropped up? Yep. In those ones.
Well, just finally on other horses, Holly, there's going to be a horse that's probably not going to be there for you to beat next year. I know you and Tom have both spoken him to me, and your admirement of him is Stradivarius. It's going to be his last year this year. He's going to be a big loss to racing, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And, you know, he's been an amazing horse for everyone and the fans and, you know, and himself. He's a funny character, so people will be sad to see him go.
Yeah, but just a great advert for horse racing and, you know, one less for Trushan to beat, I suppose.
Yeah, one less, I suppose.
Yeah. A couple of other things, if that's okay, Holly, just to chat to you about is, you mentioned at the start of the year how good Nashua could be and she could be a filly to look out for, and you've been absolutely spot on. Can you tell almost immediately when you sit on a horse how good they can be? I mean, I'm not talking about how much potential they're going to grow into, because who knows? As you said, horses grow at different rates and some always don't reach their potential. But when you sit on one, can you tell? And what's the feeling like when you sit on one that good?
I mean, you can get a rough gauge of how good you think they could be. Some can surprise you and some can let you down, but as a jockey, it's probably your job to be able to tell the future lies for some horses.
You're right, you're the final piece of feedback, really, aren't you? You're the one that, as you said, some horses disappoint, some horses improve from home to the track, so you're the final piece of feedback.
Yeah, exactly, and it's what you kind of pick up over the years of experience, I suppose.
Yeah, fabulous. Holly, before we let you go, we spoke about riding abroad, your wish to ride abroad, and how you've achieved that, and you are achieving that. Do you have any ambitions now for next year? I know your ambition initially was to ride as many winners as you can, and then it was to ride, as we said, a group winner, then a group one winner, then a classic winner. Any more ambitions? English classic winner?
Yeah, I'd love to ride an English classic winner, and I've got like Australia and Japan are on my bucket list to go and ride it. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, Australia, obviously Tom's very, very popular in Australia. He does brilliant when he goes over there. I know you like to have individual careers. Is that something you can tie in together so you're not away from each other?
Yeah, hopefully Tom will be out there, so hopefully I can get out there at some point.
Yeah, big country. It'll be great if you can. And obviously Japan, all those big races. So you've had success in Hong Kong?
Hong Kong, yeah. Haven't been to Japan yet.
No, fabulous. Plenty for you to do there, Holly. Well, I'm so grateful for you to give your time up. You've already given quite a bit up today. Just to say that you've mentioned the Breeders' Cup and the Art Weekend. They're already on my list, but you've mentioned them. You could be there those weekends. So all I'm going to say is, Holly, we'll catch up with you soon when you've got time. I know you're busy. Good luck for the rest of the season. Good luck for the Arc weekend, especially if Nashua goes there and perhaps the Breeders' Cup.
Thank you.
Thanks, Holly.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Holly. Fantastic interview as always. And after our first short ad break, we have a song dedicated to young Jack de Bromhead, who sadly lost his life at just the age of 13 during a pony race this week. And part three from Nicola Curry.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
Damn, who knew? All the planes we flew, good things we've been through. Then I'll be standing right here talking to you about another path. I know we love to hit the road and laugh, but something told me that it wouldn't last. Had to switch up, look at things different, see the bigger picture. Those were the days, hard work forever pays. Now I see you in a better place. See you in a better place.
How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I would do, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
I see you again.
We've come a long way,
yeah, we came a long way
from where we began.
You know, we started.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
Let me tell you.
When I see you again.
You both go out your way and the vibe is feeling stronger. What's small turn to a friendship, a friendship turn to a bond, and that bond will never be broken. The love will never get lost. And when brotherhood come first, then the line will never be crossed. Established it on our own when that line had to be drawn, and that line is what we reach. So remember me when I'm gone.
How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
So let the light guide your way. Yeah. Hold every memory as you go. And every road you take. Without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
Absolutely, Nicola. I said we've just spoken about how important it is to work hard at all times because you don't know what's around the corner. You've taken the chances with both hands. I've just read out incredible career and current year as well stats that you're just so consistent and so consistently good, which obviously is why you're doing so well. One thing I would like to ask you about, because I don't think you really benefited as much as if you were coming into the sport now, it's opportunities for women and girls. And it's things like what yourself, Hayley Turner, Holly Doyle have actually done to create more opportunities for girls. Obviously, girls still have to go in and perform and work hard, as we know. Are you sort of overjoyed and happy that the opportunities are much more now? And do you take a sense of pride that you were one of the integral initial women that started this?
Yeah, I noticed now, even from when I started riding, 9 times out of 10, you would probably be in the waiting room on your own. Maybe if you're at the same meeting as Holly or Josie or Hayley, we would bump into each other. But generally, you were there on your own. But nowadays, every day I go racing, there could be at least another 2 or 3 girls, and sometimes we have a full girls' changing room, which is great. So it's obviously, you know, making a difference of what some of us females have done. And I think just probably giving the girls more confidence to go out and
can do it. And of course, you have to prove that, yeah, we can be as tough and as strong as the boys. And I do think more opportunities are arising for girls to prove that.
Which is a fabulous thing. And a couple of things I need to pick up on. First thing, I need to apologise to Josephine Gordon if she listens to this, because I didn't put her in the initial list. She was obviously a very important and integral part in women getting rides. And obviously, it's not only the riding and the opportunities that are better for women now. Obviously, facilities at the course are as well. You say you've got, you know, your own girls' changing room, which I know sounds obvious, but a few years ago, it probably wasn't.
No, then you're absolutely right. I mean, some of the changing rooms, they literally had space for two girls. And a lot of them even now will just have one shower. So when there's a lot of girls there, it becomes quite cosy. But all the race courses are adapting very well. And there's certainly three race courses in the last 2 years that have done up our weighing rooms. So we have a lot more room for everybody. We've got more showers and they are adapting to the rising girls coming into the industry.
I mean, that's still pretty sad though, really, isn't it? When you think that some have only got one shower. That's the time, sadly, isn't it? But we are coming out of that.
Yeah, we 100% are. You know, as I say, a few years ago, as girls that were riding, we didn't even bat an eyelid. That was just the norm for us, you know?
Yeah.
You go in your little weighing room, and to be honest, if we had a busy day, we'd obviously get change in the girls, but we'd actually have our peg in with the lads. And that's just where you have to be, you know, to learn what's happening in this race. And it's just listening in to those older senior jockeys, learning little tips, taking it all in. And but no, as I say now, you know, there's no excuses. We've got all the facilities we need for girls, for as many girls that are ever there now. So yeah, times are definitely changing.
Fabulous. And I want to ask you one more thing, if that's okay, before we ask you a little cheeky question about a couple of horses and then quite a serious-ish question about advice for youngsters is, can you give me a brief description of a day in the life of Nicola Curry?
Yes, so it starts off, my alarm goes off at 5:45. So on a typical day, say I'm in right now at Jamie Osborne's, thankfully that's only 5 minutes from my house. So I'll arrive in the yard at 6:15 to pull out for 6:30. I usually do 3 laps, so that would maybe take up till 9:30, 9:45. I then, if I have time, venture off to do my own horse. Mad, I know, but it's my little get out from racing. I then generally, depending if I'm a day meeting or an evening meeting, I would go home, grab a quick shower and jump in the car and head off to wherever I'm racing that day. And then depending, again, if it was a day or evening meeting, if it was an evening, I would just get some food out from the race course, eat it in the car on the way home if I didn't have light the next day, and get home, and it would usually be straight to bed and do it all over again.
It is non-stop. I was just trying to get the point across to people of how much hard work it is. It's not just turning up at the races and riding the winners, is it?
That's it. You know, my last ride tomorrow night, I think, is at 8:50 in the evening. So if I was coming back to Lambourne, you know, I wouldn't be home until 11:30, 11:45. And then you'd be back up the next day riding out.
Wow.
And then likes of tomorrow evening, I'm actually at Pontefract, which is a long way from Lambourne.
It is.
On the Sunday.
Yeah.
So what I will probably do, thankfully, because I don't need to be riding out Lambourne, I will head back up north after Wolverhampton and stay somewhere for Pontefract on the Sunday.
Yeah.
But as I say, if that had been a Friday night to a Saturday, I would have had to come back to Lambourne, ride out in the morning and then drive back up north up to Pontefract. So yeah, it's certainly not the glamorous lifestyle that people might think it is, but I tell you one thing, when you have a winner, it certainly makes the driving home a lot easier.
I bet it does. I bet it just gives you such an adrenaline rush.
That's it. It makes it all easier and you don't snooze your alarm for another 3 times the next morning, and it's easier to get up and get out of bed and go in and exercise the horses and start another day.
Absolutely. And just to elaborate on how hard it is, I know it's not considered a very good question to ask women about weight, but you said sometimes you grab some food at the course or just away from the course. How hard is it for you to manage your weight, or are you relatively lucky?
I'm relatively lucky. I certainly don't do as much light weights as I did a few years ago. I'm just unable. I've just been that bit older now. But yeah, I try and manage it the best I can. I'd maybe have a light weight and have to sweat I'm very lucky, maybe once a month. I mean, there's a lot of lads that do it every single day.
Yeah.
And I absolutely take my hat off to them. But yeah, when I've got a light weight, I would just really narrow down on what I'm eating, and if need be, I will get the sweatsuit on and get running, and then have a long hot bath, and that usually takes a few pounds off. And then you would just kind of sip a bit of water, not much, you would literally sip on it in the car on the way to the races, just to kind of keep you going.
Yeah. So it is obviously a lot of extra work. What is a lightweight for you?
So now my bottom weight would be about 8'6". I mean, 2 years ago I could do 8 stone and not much of a struggle. But I think after COVID and everything, my weight went up having the time off, and it's just, it's not really gone much back down. I've had to really focus on getting it back down to a level weight. But yeah, if I've got a day off, I'm not racing, I'll always try and go for a run, and it just helps your metabolism, and you might sweat a pound or two, and it just keeps things level.
And sorry to throw another quick question at you. What's your cheat meal?
Cheat meal? My cheat meal would be a bottle of Peroni and Chinese.
There you go. That's straight after most people's hearts, isn't it? I mean...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can't go wrong with that, can you? But yeah, I can tell you now, it's waking up the next morning, it's just that instant regret.
I bet it is. Yeah, I bet it is. I mean, it's great at the time, isn't it? But...
You just try not to look at the scales for a few days afterwards till you've done a bit of hard work again.
Do you know what? I feel for you. I feel for you. 8'7". That, and for everybody listening, that's with saddle, silks, boots, hat, isn't it? That's everything.
Yeah.
That's not 8'7" before you put all the clobber on. That's 8'7" all in.
With it all on. That's exactly it.
Wow. You're a legend, Nicola. You really are. So... I've taken a lot of your time up, but I'm so grateful. Just a question before we finish off. Something that I know will be appreciated by many. A lot of our young footballers listen to the shows, and anyone that's aspiring to get into sport or get into horse racing, I think if you're going to be a champion or a winner, the dedication is across the board, whatever sport it is, maybe in different areas. Could you give these youngsters some advice of what they need to do to succeed and maybe what they need to stay away from?
Yeah, look, you obviously, you just have to do your best, and that's all you can ask for. Whether you succeed or you don't succeed, as long as you've given your best, that's all anybody can do. But as long as you work hard and keep your head down, then 9 times out of 10 you are going to. You've got to just be, keep yourself as fit as you can, as strong as you can, take every bit of help you can get, that's certainly for sure. There's not much advice that's bad advice. And just be tough about it. There's going to be bad days at sport, and that's just one of the part and parcels of it, and it's just dealing with those bad days.
Nicola, that's absolutely amazing. I can't believe we've come to the end of it already. It's gone so quick, you would not believe how long we've done the interview for. You've been an absolute pleasure. And I want to say, Nicola Curry, superstar British jockey, thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Amazing, Nicola. Thank you. A brilliant 3-part interview. Ended with some great advice for youngsters. And after our second and final short advertisement break, we have our SLB Sports Roundup.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
we finish off this week's show with our SLB Sports Roundup featuring golf, horse racing, cricket, tennis, motorsport, NFL and football. We start with golf and the Rebel Tour, the LIV Tour, held their third event in Boston, and it was won by Dustin Johnson, probably the highest profile player to leave the PGA Tour before the recent departure of Cameron Smith, the Open winner. But Dustin Johnson done the business in a three-way playoff. Him, Anirban Lahiri and Joachim Niemann all finished on minus 15, but it was DJ that came through with the win. The European Tour hosted the Made in Denmark Open from Himmerland Golf and Spa Resort in Farsi, Denmark. It was won by Oliver Wilson on minus 21. Second place, Owen Ferguson on minus 20. Third place, Christian Johannesson on minus 18. This week they tee up at the BMW Championship at Wentworth. Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas come face to face with some of the LIV Golf rebels that they've spoken so disregardedly about, but fairly. The LPGA Tour had the Dana Open from Highland Meadows Golf Club in Sylvania, Ohio. It was won by Gabby Lopez. A brilliant final score of minus 18. One shot clear of Megan Kang on minus 17. One shot further back to Caroline Masson on minus 16. This week, it's the Kroger Queen City Championship from the Kentwood Country Club in Ohio. Horse racing. The big races of last weekend were the Haydock Sprint with Mossadaf, one of the horses we put forward for you, taking the glory in fine style. In France, it was the Prix de Moulin and the sad demise of 2,000 guineas and St. James's Palace Stakes winner Caribus, who broke a leg during the race. It was horrific scenes, and all our thoughts and prayers go to the owners, the stable lad and lass, and the trainer and jockey, Charlie Appleby and William Buick. It was a sad demise and a tragic demise of a champion. This weekend, races to look out for. The Irish Champion Stakes, we're going for Fedini, the French Derby winner. The St. Ledger, we're expecting New London to hopefully put smiles back on the faces of William Buick and Charlie Appleby. The Park Hill Stakes sees a Sharda for us, the one to beat. And also another runner from the Appleby-Buick combination, Adair. Last year's Derby winner makes his reappearance this season. The Flying Childers, we're looking at the Platinum Queen to bring home the money. And in the Doncaster Cup, it's another Holly Doyle runner, Trushan, that we expect to win if allowed to run because of the fast ground. Cricket sees the third test between England and South Africa starting this week. The decider in the series of three with scores at one test all. And in the 100, the big T20 competition in England, the men's was won by Trent Rockets. And the women's was won by Oval Invincibles. Tennis sees the second week of the US Open taking place. Still in the men's is Rafa Nadal, Carlos Alcaraz and Nick Kyrgios. In the women's, it's Iga Swiatek, who was our pick at the start with Coco Gauff. And two, at a slightly bigger price, still in it, Arina Sabalenka. And also Ons Jabeur, the runner-up at the Wimbledon Championships. Motorsport, we start on two wheels. And the MotoGP saw the Gran Premio de San Marino held at the Misano World Circuit, named after the young superstar Marco Simoncelli. It was won by Frankie Bagnaia on his Ducati, riding for the Lenovo team, taking 25 points. Second place, Enea Bastianini, also on a Ducati, but for Gresini Racing, taking 20. Third place, Maverick Vinales for Aprilia with 16. Fabio Quartararo from the Monster Energy Yamaha still leads the standings on 211, 30 points clear of Frankie Bagnaia, who is closing the gap. And third place, Alexia Espargaro for Aprilia on 178. They're back on the 18th of September with a Gran Premio de Aragon from Motorland Aragon in Spain. World Superbikes are back this week with round 7 from France with a Pirelli French round at Circuit Manicourt. Alvaro Bautista riding the Ducati Aruba IT racing machine leads on 298. 31 points clear of six-time world champion Jonathan Rea on Team Kawasaki. And third place, just seven behind him, is Toprak Ratsaglioglu, riding Team Yamaha Worksbike, the current champion. British Superbikes are also back this week with round 8 and races 22, 23 and 24 from Snetterton using the 300 circuit. Bradley Ray, riding the OMG Racing Yamaha, leads the series on 372. 13 points clear of Jason O'Halloran, riding for McCam's Yamaha. And way back on 241 is Rory Skinner for the FS3 Racing Kawasaki team. Speedway GP is also back this week with round 8 from Denmark, with a Danish GP from Vojens. Bartosz Szmarzik leads the standings on 108 points, 16 points clear of Leon Madsen, riding at his home track this weekend. And third place, British young flyer Dan Bewley on 84 points. NASCAR saw the Cookout Southern 500 in Darlington Raceway, and it was won by Kyle Busch for the Toyota Camry for Joe Gibbs Racing. Second place was Eric Jones, driving the Chevy Camaro for the ZL1 Racing Team. And third was Tyler Reddick, also driving the ZL1 Chevy Camaro for Richard Childress Racing. We're now into the playoffs, currently led with 40 points by Chase Elliott, Chevy Camaro for Hendrick Motorsport. 15 behind, Joey Logano, Ford Mustang for Team Penske. Third place on 20, Ross Chastain, Chevy Camaro for Hendrick Motorsport. The playoff works, we lose four most weeks, and we'll be showing you and bringing you the countdown. This week they go to Kansas Speedway for the Hollywood Casino 500. IndyCar, it's the penultimate round of the championship, and we saw the Grand Prix of Portland from Portland International Raceway. It was won by Scott McLaughlin for Team Penske, gaining 54 points. Second place, Will Power, also Team Penske, 41 points. Third place, Scott Dixon, Chip Ganassi Racing, 35 points. This now means just five drivers can win the championship this weekend, with the last race of the season, which is being held at the Grand Prix of Monterey at the famous Laguna Seca track, where Will Power takes a 20-point lead into the final standings. He drives for Team Penske on 523, and joint second, his teammate Joseph Newgarden on 503, and Scott Dixon, multiple world champion for Chip Ganassi Racing. Formula One saw the Dutch Grand Prix from the circuit Zandvoort, and yet another victory for Lewis Hamilton slipped through his fingers after a terrible strategy decision by his team Mercedes. It was won, unsurprisingly, by Driver of the Year Max Verstappen in his Red Bull. 25 points, one for the fastest lap, 26 points. A full bag for Max. George Russell was second in the Mercedes, having passed Lewis Hamilton to gain second place. And Charles Leclerc was third, also passing Lewis Hamilton. Both of these inside the last 15 laps of the race. Well, Lewis Hamilton did lead the race after a safety car was enforced. Everybody pitted for new tyres, but for some reason Mercedes, after initially deciding to keep both cars out, using George Russell potentially as a buffer from Max Verstappen, decided to pit George Russell, leaving Lewis all alone on old tyres, and he got passed by the front three and actually done well to hold on to fourth place. Max Verstappen leads the standings on 310 points. Charles Leclerc is second, chasing shadows, 109 behind on 201. Joint with Max Verstappen's teammate, Sergio Perez. Red Bull lead the way by a mile in the constructors. They're on 511 points, 135 points ahead of Ferrari, who are 376, and just 30 points now ahead of Mercedes. This week sees week one of 18 in the NFL and some highlighted fixtures. The Rams, the current champions, play the Bills. The Bears play the 49ers. The Dolphins play the Patriots. The Vikings play the Packers. The Titans play the Giants. The Seahawks play the Broncos. Cardinals versus the Chiefs. And the Cowboys versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We finish with football and match day 6 results from last weekend. Everton 0, Liverpool 0 in the Merseyside Derby. Tottenham 2, Fulham 1. Nottingham Forest 2, Bournemouth 3. Chelsea 2, West Ham 1. Brentford 5, Leeds 2. Wolves 1, Southampton 0. Newcastle 0, Crystal Palace 0. Aston Villa 1, Manchester City 1. Brighton 5, Leicester 2. And Manchester United 3, top of the table, Arsenal 1. A couple of points to note is that VAR yet again gets itself in trouble with some terrible decisions. Really surprising when people can see several different screens and cannot get the decision right. And Erling Haaland scores again to make it 10 in 6 games for Manchester City. The top 6 in the table see Arsenal out in front on 15 points. Manchester City is second, joint with Tottenham on 14, but courtesy of a better goal difference. Brighton are fourth on 13. Manchester United, after being bottom with no points from the first two games, have won their latest four and see themselves in fifth with 12 points. And Chelsea is sixth on 10 points. Match day 7's fixtures: Fulham versus Chelsea, Bournemouth versus Brighton, Southampton versus Brentford, Liverpool versus Wolves, Leicester versus Aston Villa, Manchester City versus Tottenham, Arsenal versus Everton, West Ham versus Newcastle, Crystal Palace versus Manchester United, and Leeds versus Nottingham Forest. This week we see the start of the Champions League and the Europa League. The group stages of match day 1, the British clubs are as follows. Dynamo Zagreb versus Chelsea, Sevilla versus Manchester City, Celtic versus Real Madrid, Ajax versus Rangers, Tottenham versus Marseille, and Napoli versus Liverpool. Potentially the two biggest ties of the round are PSG versus Juventus and Inter Milan versus Bayern Munich. The Europa League also are the group stages with match day one. There's two English teams in it. FC Zurich take on Arsenal and Manchester United host Real Sociedad. We finish with the WSL and women's football. In the WSL, Chelsea are the current champions, and you've got Manchester City, Arsenal and Manchester United fighting out for the top three spaces. The first round of fixtures are Tottenham versus Manchester United, Chelsea versus West Ham, Everton versus Leicester, Reading versus Liverpool, Brighton versus Aston Villa, and Manchester City versus Arsenal. A couple of games to note on players that we know and have been on the radio several times. Southampton versus Durham. Durham's Dee Bradley looking to make it another win for Durham. And Elenia Priest fighting to get back soon for Watford. See her team take on Norwich. Watford are 2-2 and are going strong in Tier 3. That's our SLB Sports Roundup. Well, everyone, thank you again for tuning in to another great show. I want to say a huge thank you to two brilliant flat jockeys, trendsetting for the girls. It's Holly Doyle and Nicola Curry. I also want to say thank you to you, the listeners, who tune in every week, and to Johan, Raffaella and the team at UK Health Radio, who keep us on the air. As always, we play out with a real feel-good song. It's Don't Stop Me Now by Queen. Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive.
Sonic man out of you. Don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.